podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 39 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is September 8th, 2016. Is it the 9th? It might be the 9th. I have no idea anymore. It's the 8th. Yes, I did something right today.
It's not the 9th because you haven't pre-ordered your iPhone yet.
That is true. 1 a.m. for me today. Oh man, I don't know if I can do it. Anyways, from Denver, Colorado, we're not going there. From Denver, Colorado, I am John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from some odd place in...
I told you last week.
It doesn't matter. Some really weird, obscure place in California, it's Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Hey. Yeah, super, super excited. It's Thursday again. I feel like before I came on this podcast, Thursdays were just another day in the week. I never knew when the Thursday was. My week literally did not count around when Thursday was in the week. Nothing significant. So it's really exciting to be here and have my Thursdays be significant. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to talk about today.
Awesome. Well, it's awesome to have you here. Speaking of Mr. Significant, it is from Camarillo, California. You guys were wondering who I was going to. That was adorable. It is Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, good to be back as always on The Payload here and talking about Overwatch. I'm excited. I got a lot of play in for this week with Season 2, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Awesome. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. But before we do, last but not least, back in Saskatoon, the only Canadian city that I know of outside of like Toronto. It's Kevin Obdestad. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John. Yeah, it's too bad. Your geography's not really up to snuff for
Oh, I know where
Canadian
you guys
listeners.
Are. You're north. Geography's fine.
I feel like you don't know what geography means, but yes, you're correct. You're close. Anyway, it's going to be a crazy show. We have lots of interesting stuff that's come out from the Overwatch team. Lots of neat things we can talk about in terms of how they're making the secret sauce that makes this game run. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's nice to be back home and doing this from the comfort of my own desk. So definitely appreciate the time and effort that went into letting me still be on the show while I was out of town. So,
yeah, thanks for doing that. And a big thank you to Kevin's host family in Canada. Your sister and her boyfriend, right?
Yeah, Terry and Mike.
Terry and Mike. I hedged. I was going to say Terry. I didn't know Mike, but I was going to say Terry. I hedged. Anyways, woo! Welcome back. Season 2. It feels like it's been way longer than a week, does it not?
Wait, it's really only been a week? Oh, I didn't even realize it had only been a week.
Really? Well,
yeah, I thought it was like 2 weeks to be completely honest. So, yeah, you're dead right on that.
Yeah, it's only been a week. Wow. And only a week worth of stuff has happened. But we should talk about those things that have happened. And Rosh, let's start with you. How is your week in Overwatch?
I actually haven't played a lot of Overwatch. I have yet to actually do the placements on my main, so I will have to fill you in on how those go next week. I have been playing on my Smurf account, though, because I just haven't had the time to seriously sit down and zone out all of the other life distractions to give it my all on my main for my placement accounts. Hence why I've been doing it on my Smurf. But the games that I have done on my Smurf have been really cool. I've had a lot of fun. I'm super glad that Season 2 is out because quick play before and playing on the PTR was not fun the 3 weeks before that. So it's been really fun, and I'm really, really enjoying all of the changes that Overwatch has been, or that Blizzard has made with Overwatch, and I'm really excited for Season 2 going forward.
Yes, I think I can definitely echo that sentiment. Season 2 has felt great. I love the new ranking system. I love getting 10 competitive points for wins. I don't. can I gripe for a second? I hate getting 3 competitive points for a tie. I hate that.
I feel like it should probably be 5.
I think Bo should just get 10. Mm-hmm. I think Bo should just get 10. Yeah. Why not? There's no good reason not to. And because there are so few, like, people won't purposefully tie because they can get extra competitive points because it's still not great for your rating.
Yeah.
But having that, like, cool, I didn't get the win. I didn't get all the experience for a win. But hey, at least I got 10 competitive points for doing a 20-minute match, I think is totally worth it. I'm just saying. That's just my point.
Yeah,
Kev,
I agree.
Kev, how was your week in Overwatch, man? What have you been up to?
Well, I only just got home officially as of Tuesday, but I did get around to doing my PC placements last night. I'm awful at this game. Like, I know we've talked about it before, but I am awful at this game.
You didn't do that badly.
I finished at 2,300.
That's not embarrassing. That bad.
It's not good.
That's gold?
It's not good. Yeah, it's gold.
And that's almost platinum. I mean, that's over. You said 2,300?
Yeah.
That's over the halfway mark to platinum. I don't think that that's bad. I think that people who got that rating shouldn't beat themselves up because I think that that's not too bad. I think you could have done a lot worse.
I could have done worse. You are right. But I definitely, compared to what I'm used to expecting of myself in the other games I play, it was just this isn't going to fly. Also, I mean, I really wanted to crank them out so I'd be able to talk about it on the show. So I played them all solo queue last night. In the middle of the night, like I was playing solo queue at like 4 a.m. because I was up all night doing some work stuff anyways. And that was not a good choice. Like, I know we've talked a little bit in previous weeks back in the tail end of season 1 about how bad voice chat can be at times. If you want to have the worst, and I mean the worst voice chat experiences of your life, queue competitive Overwatch on PC at like 4 a.m. on a weekday. I have I can't repeat any of it. I can't even give you an example because John will kick me off the show forever.
Yeah, it gets bad.
I'm just looking for a reason, Kev.
No, you're stuck with me. I refuse. But yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I had to turn voice chat off despite the fact that I was tryharding and playing in competitive because it was awful. So it's still a problem. But the game feels really good. I think John's right that most of the season 2 comp changes feel really good. The rating system feels really good. I do hope that they'd make some changes just to how much spread there is in competitive rating. Because right now it feels like they put out this 5,000 point scale and left everybody within about 300 points of each other, which makes it feel kind of like it's not giving anybody a really good indication of where they fall. On a scale that wide, I've got friends who I know I'm probably better than this game at, and I expect to be 500 points better than them, not 45, just based on the way they explained the league medal system and stuff. So I think this is something that still needs one more round of iteration, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, and they didn't address the bell curve. So in the end, whether it's rank 53 or 47 or 57 or 2,700 to 2,300 or 2,800 to whatever, like whatever that math ends up being, it's still the same thing. It looks like everybody is still centered around the threshold on platinum, which I don't know. I don't like either spread out the bell curve a little bit, make that more, or make it some progression-based stuff to where even if you are, I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even go down there. I can't do the math.
I don't know how they would do that because if you look at other games and their other systems, I mean, Hearthstone isn't that way. Not everybody is on rank 5. They have a really good spread throughout the game. So Blizzard obviously has a way that they can do that. I just, like John and Kevin have both said, I don't think they've implemented that for Overwatch. So like, bronze, for example, has anybody even seen a bronze player? Because the way that it works is if
to get their attention.
Yeah, and even then, it's the way that it works is if you get up to diamond and then you lose rating and then you decide you want to intentionally throw, you're not going to go down to platinum. You're not going to go down to bronze or to gold to silver to bronze, you're going to stay that diamond emblem. So you're never going, those ranks are never going to be seen in Overwatch because of the system in which, oh, well, you won't lose your diamond emblem even if you lose rating. I think that's something that they also need to change because, yeah, you're never going to see silvers, you're never going to see bronzes. And I think that that's something that they need to implement.
Yeah. Maybe. Jimmy, how'd you do, man? How'd you do in Overwatch?
It's been pretty good. So Saturday, yeah, I made a really conscious effort to get through my placement matches. I had my best friend and we duo queued it up. We went 5-4-1 and I got placed in gold. So I guess I met my goal this week, this season. But 21, I hit 21-35. That's where I was placed at. And then I proceeded to have some pretty bad losing streaks. I'm currently at 18-89. But what was interesting about the placement matches is they were all really, really close. Like we had this one really great comeback on Nepal, I think it was. We were down 2-0 and came back to win three rounds in a row. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, the season, it definitely feels better. I've only ran into one really toxic person on comms. It was probably a bad idea to play on Labor Day though as well, because I went 1-4 with some friends, and we all got pretty tilted pretty quickly. One thing I am noticing though, just to your point, Raj, I did see one silver player so far. That was it, only one.
Okay.
But I guess they do exist. But yeah, I'm currently in the silver like bracket because of the rating.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I find a lot of people who just don't know the basics of the game. Like they go way too far in front of the supports and people just not waiting for tanks to get in position and stuff like that. It's a little bit frustrating, but I guess yeah, it's par for the course for any competitive game.
I will say though that it's interesting, right? Talking about those kinds of experiences in season two, the consistent thing that I've heard from people, the thing we're hearing in chat even, is that placement games have been much closer. Toxicity level has been generally lower. So hopefully they're doing a good job of catching people who are being abusive. I haven't heard anybody say anything about substantial amounts of leavers jumping out of their competitive games. I didn't see hardly any of that. So they've done, a good job of cleaning that up and making that system punish people who were doing that in the first season. Because I saw that constantly in season one and haven't seen it at all in season two.
I don't think I had any leavers during my placement matches.
No, I don't think I did. I think we might have had one, maybe. In out of 10, that was pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, it was very rare. Like, I had one game where we won so fast, I bet you the whole game, both sides, was over in basically the minimum physical amount of time. It felt really awful. Like, it felt like we blew through the other team. And there was a guy on the other team who in chat was like, this doesn't feel really fair. And we were like, yeah, sorry, don't know what's up here. But he didn't leave. And in season one, I guarantee that guy would have just rage quit out. Like, I think they've done a really... So, I mean, I just want to mitigate, like, it sounds like we're complaining. John's griping about ties. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's griping about... But, like, these are way smaller things. Season two has been a massive improvement across
the board. I would say the games have been really close for the most part. Like, they've been 3-2 or 3-3, and we go into the tie scenario where you basically rerun the game with how much ever time you have left, depending on the map type. So it's been really interesting to see how they've really gotten away from ties. I've only gotten two ties since the launch of season two, and I think that's a pretty good sign, because like John was saying, ties kind of feel a little bit bad. There was one last night, it was on Anubis, and we had like crushed them, and then we had 6 minutes left and we just could not capture that last point. And it was so frustrating because it was like, we had so much more time than them to win and we just couldn't close it out that second time through. But overall, I think this is much better than season one. So I'm excited to see how they continue to iterate and evolve on this.
Yeah, that's definitely no doubt that we are a huge step forward from where we were 3 months ago. Like, that's the easiest thing to say.
We're nitpicking at this point. because the game is good.
It's really good. And it's just like, here's what I'd like to see next time. And they'll probably address 90% of this for next time, just like they addressed 90% of our complaints from last season for this season. It just tends to work that way. News.
This week in Overwatch.
So before we do get started, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B. and Tyler H. Thank you two so much for supporting the show. If you want to find out more, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. We crushed our $50 milestone. So if you actually look on the stream or hopefully on your podcast feeds, it may not be updated yet, or on our Twitter or on our Patreon, wherever you see us, you'll notice we've got a new look. We've got a brand new logo. We've got brand new stream stuff. I think it looks amazing. I think we all look very good and handsome and beautiful, Jimmy. And I think it looks really great. And it's all thanks to you for supporting the show. So patreon.com/payloadpodcast, and a special thank you to Nathan Horstman, who did most of the graphic work, and it looks stunning. So huge thanks to him, and a huge thanks to our MVPs, Adam B. and Tyler H. Let's talk about the news. What do we have going on for Xbox this weekend, Jimmy?
We have a free console weekend coming up September 9th through the 12th. That's going to be for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. But we did actually see a tweet out that if you do have Xbox Live Gold, which is a requirement for downloading the free weekend or for playing on the free weekend, it is available for $50 on console for Xbox. And that's through Monday. And that's the first time we've seen any sort of discount, I think, on Overwatch, especially on console. I know on PC you can obviously get the digital version for $40 with none of the extra stuff, but this is definitely the cheapest we've seen on console yet.
Yeah, definitely have. I think this is cool. Do any of you have friends who don't own Overwatch who you're trying to talk in to play some Xbox, or not Xbox, console in general, right?
Yeah, I have a couple of people. I'm probably going to try to see if they're at least interested in downloading it and trying it out, because I think it's a really great game. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing a podcast about it.
It's all right. It's all right.
Details.
It gets me by.
I think it's a great opportunity to spread the love of Overwatch to friends who may not pay attention to the Blizzard universe and honestly might not even be aware of the game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'll
go ahead.
I'll probably do the same thing. I got a couple of friends I'm likely to see this weekend. You know, a group of guys that we all used to get together on weekends and throw down to play Call of Duty, stuff like that. And there hasn't been anything that's been really good for that. The console scene kind of felt like it had gotten a little repetitive in terms of what the games were like, and no one was buying new stuff. We tried really hard to get a bunch of people on Destiny, and there was some love for that for a while. But I feel like that game has struggled, I think, with player retention a little bit, and none of my friends stuck with it. They didn't keep playing it on a recurring basis. It wasn't something everybody was logging into every week. So it'd be nice to say, hey, you know what? I know you maybe didn't pick this game up, but give it a spin. It's free this weekend. See what you think. So I'm definitely going to be asking some people to check it out while it's free anyway. And all the stuff they unlock, if they do keep playing, we determined before, they get to hang on to. So it's not like they're losing anything by going that route instead of buying the game outright.
Yeah, I need to, I have had trouble talking friends into playing Overwatch. It's been really difficult for me to say, buy this multiplayer only game with these kind of cartoonish looking characters and pay $60 for it and come and play with me. However, every time I've gotten somebody to like log into my account and play, some of the game, you know, play a game or two, they're immediately hooked. So I think this is absolutely brilliant. Make it free for a weekend where you can play with the people that you already know and you can keep your progress. It's literally the most free sample of free samples that you could get for Overwatch. And I think it's absolutely perfect. My friends don't have an excuse not to play Overwatch with me this weekend because it is literally free. Literally. So
yeah,
I'm all about it.
It's cool. It's like a weird hearkening back to what Blizzard used to do with the like demo versions of some of their games way back in the day, or the free trials they have right now for WoW. They've got the first chunk of Diablo that you can technically play, I think, without buying the game. Like, they've always had little pieces, and Overwatch was probably the only game in the Blizzard library that didn't have some kind of trial feature. So I think this is probably how they're going to answer that, is just do this periodic thing where you can jump in and play. I wouldn't be shocked to see them do this for PC at some point as well. Just a free weekend where anybody who doesn't have the game can jump in, try it out, see what they think, because it's not really the same. They can't give someone the ability to like just play one character and hop into play multiplayer until they unlock the game. So it's probably going to have to be these little, like, you can try it for a couple of day type things that they're going to have to do on. And I hope it's for all the platforms down the road.
Yeah, I think, what if, I was thinking about this the other day, is what other ways could people try out Overwatch? And the only other idea that I came up with that seemed to at least make some sort of sense was to do kind of what like World of Warcraft does or did, where it used to be like free up to level 20. You can't mail, yeah. You can't join the guild, but you can roll any class on any character. You can level it up to 20, see what it's like, party up with friends and go. Do you think that there would ever be a way where it's like, cool, Overwatch is free up to level 10.
And then I was from gonna that say, point maybe on, not level 20 like they did on WoW or whatever it was that they did on it, because getting to like 25, I think, is the rank that you need to be able to play ranked, actually takes a decent amount of time. You start getting XP lower and lower, so that might be too much time that they're giving. But I think something like maybe level 15, because up to level 10 is really easy to get. After 10 is where it kind of gets a little harder. But that would be perfect. And it's funny that you brought it up, because before you brought it up, I was going to say exactly what World of Warcraft did. It was a great way to get people who might not have wanted to shell out all of the money for the expansion packs and all of that. It was a great way for them to get into the game and start it and learn all the basics and then get hooked and then want to continue playing. Because by level 15, you're going to know that you want a skin. And if you haven't gotten it by level 15, you're going to want to keep playing it because now you're addicted to getting that skin. So I think it'd be a great way.
I think you'd have to tie it to your battle tag in order to do that, though, just so that you don't, like, it's really easy to make multiple accounts on like Xbox or PS. I don't know how it is on PS4, but it is on Xbox. Tying it, though, to a Battle.net account makes it so that, hey, this is not, like, you have to be really intentional to cheese the system to get multiple things. The only downside I see to that is, well, at World of Warcraft, you're in the starting zones the whole time, basically. And then in Overwatch, you've got the whole game just for 10, 15 levels, however many it ends up being. So that might be kind of weird.
I don't think they can do it. I think it's a really cool idea, but I think that because they set it up as a game that has that big paid barrier to entry, and because the whole premise of the game is that you have access to everything as soon as you've bought the game, there's nothing gated, there's nothing that you have to level up to unlock, with the singular exception of competitive play, which is not a meaningful distinction from playing the game in another mode, truthfully. You have all the characters, all the maps, all of the content of the game in quick play on a technicality. I don't think they could do it. I think this like,
I don't even know,
free play rotational thing is probably the best option they have, unless at some point down the road they decided that they were going to go the route of making the game free to play, which I do not expect.
No way.
I'm almost wondering though if they might consider make it so you can't get loot boxes on a free account or something like that. Just
no way. That's like the I don't best know. Part. No,
that's a huge part of it.
That's like the only thing I could think of.
But
though.
People
like,
won't get the addiction if they can't open the loot boxes. Oh, yeah. What they should do is
maybe
just put
limit them. Like Joe said in chat, maybe not strictly that you can only, if you're on a free account, just play versus AI, because that would get a little boring. Maybe you could just do stuff where you can't do the brawl, the weekly brawl. You can't do specific stuff. But I think they would have to go in and they would have to make some development changes to how the game works and basically add a new segment to their game for free players that are playing up to level 10 or 15. So I don't see it happening anytime soon at all. But I think that there might be some ways that they could figure something out in the distant future.
It sounds like such a huge, complex workaround as opposed to just the game's going to be free in short bursts. Like the system they've come up with is probably the least work and keeps the game experience the most intact. So I don't know that they're going to do anything different, at least until something substantive with the game changes. Like if they add a full expansion down the road or something that is a paid upgrade, then they could talk about changing the system.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's complex. They're already doing this for one of their games. So the complexity argument is kind of like, well, they've already done it and seen success with one. For me is, number one, I don't even know if there's something set up like that for a console. Like, I don't even know if that's actually possible, at least on Xbox, to like, cool, you can play up to this level and then kick it out, especially in an all multiplayer game. That does seem kind of weird.
It would feel kind of awkward, yeah.
Yeah, or like, what does it look like or say? But as far as ways to allow people to get involved, I know that if Blizzard gave me more and better chances to like give my friends crack, it would they would be much more likely to partake than after 5 months of the game being out, being free for a weekend. Because even then I've got,
I think
like,
this is a good, I think it's a good way. The free weekend, I think it's pretty good.
It'll work. And down the road, like, don't be shocked when Overwatch goes on sale half off for the holidays.
Yeah, for the holidays. Right? Or
that's what they've done with all of the other retail titles that have an upfront cost. And I will not be surprised when they get around to doing that.
Yep.
They've done that with every title. So
all of them, every single one. They even do holiday sales in like Heroes of the Storm. I think the only game that hasn't had a good holiday sale is Hearthstone.
Yeah.
They better not give me a loot box sale because Oh my god.
We're gonna find John on the street. No. His complete Overwatch collection and
I
nowhere
sold
to
my
loot
microphone, guys. I can't do the podcast anymore.
Just play more games. You'll eventually unlock everything. I don't get it. I will never spend money on loot boxes.
Professional Overwatch player who plays Mercy.
I don't even have everything from Mercy unlocked though. Like I can't, I have people who, like I have viewers from my stream who are like, oh, hey Rosh, just spent $100 on loot boxes. Finally got the skin I wanted. And I'm like, what?
Okay. I can't imagine dropping 100 at once. I can do 40 at once.
Yeah, no, I just play.
I can do 40 at once for both platforms. And
that's right. You have to get skins on console.
I'm not paying for it on console.
But it just flabbergasts me. I'm speechless. I just have no words.
50, I'm with John here.
It's not that bad, guys. If I can't play better, I want to at least look better.
Look better.
Okay, fine.
That's people are like, whoa, look at that cool skin. He must be really good. And then
that pretty
like,
guy who keeps jumping off the cliff. Yeah. It's
vote to kick the Zenyatta is basically what ends up happening when that goes on. What else? Anything else in the news this week? Pretty light news week this week.
Yeah, pretty light.
It's pretty quiet.
I mean, pretty quiet considering The competitive mode is live. New map is live. It hit hours before our last show, so it feels like we've talked about it. But this stuff is literally 7 days, almost exactly, old. So that's still really exciting. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. But
days ago.
Yeah, we'll probably be quiet for I would guess probably the next couple of weeks will probably be a little bit quiet. The Sombra ARG.
No.
It's getting old now.
I'm saying literally a lot. It sounds like they are having to wait weeks or months for the next clue. That was the last time I checked in. And then I go, dang it, Kevin. I mean, Kevin was, we never disagreed that it could have been short, like it was too long. I said, like, this is really cool for people to do, but I never would have expected that they'd do all this stuff and then give you just weeks of nothing to do. And that's what they've gotten.
I mean, we called it last week.
This is exactly what I said. Your point. Exactly.
And
what I said.
And I didn't disagree that if there was nothing to do.
So bad.
It was.
That website, by the way, is, for anybody who doesn't know, is sitting at 29.65%. So
gosh.
For all that discussion and all the excitement that it was going to climb real fast and we'd have an announcement in a couple days, we're not even a third of the way there, and it's been weeks.
I didn't think it would be weeks. I didn't think it would be weeks. I thought it would be a couple. I mean, maybe a couple weeks from discovery to launch. Like, I could have swore that we'd be seeing Sombra here in September, but I think it's pretty obvious now that they're probably waiting. And I feel like if they wait till September, we're probably just stuck until BlizzCon. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, and that really sucks when you think that it feels across most of the other Blizzard stuff like they had learned this lesson where they're like, hey, we just announced this new World of Warcraft expansion called Legion. And hey, we're going to put out a phone app. That's really cool. It'll be on your phone in 36 hours. Like, they've gotten way better at having announcements have really snappy turnaround. And even Overwatch, really, when they announced Ana, when they finally came out and said Ana's going to be playable, it's on the PTR immediately in the game, like a couple of weeks later at most, but playable that whole time. People were talking about her the whole time. This Sombra thing is the antithesis of what they've been moving towards as far as trying to make these announcements not feel dragged out on like announcements of announcements, because they've gotten negative feedback on that every time they've done it in every one of their franchises.
Yeah. And it's not even a compelling story like that. I get it's like, we've been working on this for months, and what do we have? About a paragraph and a half of Spanish that I don't think has a single allusion to anything actually relevant to the game. So, cool concept. Hopefully next time they pull a season two and take out the fluff, make the clues meaningful. Like, it wouldn't be that bad if it was like, oh, you found a video of my origin story, or you found, you know, a video of me and Reaper,
or even a digital having an argument comic or something. Like, geez,
well, just anything. The comparison I would draw is there's a bunch of articles floating around. If you Google like Legion spoilers or like Legion Easter eggs, there's been a bunch of neat stuff that kind of snuck through, didn't get data mined, and players had to like solve to figure out where things would be in the game. They were finding little doodads that ended up being maps to secrets out in the world, and then exploring to find them in hidden caves and stuff. Like, there's ways to put this stuff together that's really exciting. And the ARG started out that way. It started out as players were finding stuff, putting the puzzle together. It's this forced period of time where they have to sit and wait. That's the part that sucks. Yep. The ARG was a cool concept. Everybody agreed on that. I didn't dispute that. I was agitated at how long it was taking because there were all of the forced waiting periods. If this A Moment in Crime thing had been, you know, something that somebody could actually sneak a way to improve, or they players as they landed on it would have increased the rate at which it was being accessed or something, then sure, that would have actually fed the ARG experience. But instead, the whole thing has died and no one has talked about it. I haven't seen any mention of it, even on the Overwatch subreddit, in more than a week.
No,
I've seen a couple posts just like, what the heck, Blizz? But besides that, nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all. And we will not discuss it anymore on this podcast. We're going to move on and we're going to talk about some blue posts that we saw this week. So thank the Lord for the good man, Jeff Kaplan, staying super active on the forums, and Dave Adams as well. And Jeff, oh my gosh, Jeff, I'm just calling him Jeff. He's the lead balance designer. Goodman? Yep, Jeff Goodman. Yeah. So I mean, those guys are on the forums a lot throughout the week, and we've got some cool little tidbits to chat about. So the first one is, and I think we've probably all felt this and at least questioned this once. So yeah. Let me lay out the scenario for you. So we're at 99%. We're about to win, and the enemy team makes a big push. They're at 99% as well. Enemy team makes a big push, and almost instantly, I swear, it was the fastest cap I have ever seen in my life. They take over the point. I didn't even get time to respawn or anything. The fastest spawn ever. Clearly, there is some sort of mechanic that makes it so that that comeback piece, the comeback team, has an advantage. Right, Kev? That's how it works, isn't it?
I am very happy to inform you it is not. so it actually, in a way, is, I think, funny, because Jeff Kaplan didn't need to respond to this at all, in my opinion. This is something that, like, this thread on the forums could have gone totally untouched by any developer, and players could have just, you know, kind of laughed at it. But Jeff did actually step in and say there is nothing mechanical in the game that affects how the game is played when people reach overtime at 99% on a capture point map. There's nothing whatsoever. Because the question was, do players get additional damage? Are they getting faster ult generation? Maybe there's a change to respawn timers. Like, what is it that's making it feel like that happens? It's just memorable. It's just memorable. Nerves. When it occurs, right? You freak adrenaline out. You're playing as hard as you can. And it is. It's something that you're going to remember. You're not going to remember the game that was a total blowout. You're going to remember the one that you clawed your way to a 99% against 99% fifth game in competitive, and now it's which team can finally close it out. That's memorable, and that's why people, I think, were trying to understand what was happening. But there's no secret. It's just the game is the game.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, and the reason people, it happens a lot. I mean, it does happen a lot. I'm not going to lie and say that I have never been surprised, because we're just at 99%. The team hasn't done anything the whole game, and then all of a sudden it happens. And then at the end, I'm frustrated because I'm like, dude, we had it at 99%. What the heck happened? We rolled them the whole game. It does happen. It does get frustrating. So it definitely is something that you remember throughout the thing. But yeah, did any of you guys actually think that there was something in the game that happened?
No, God, no.
I always thought, like, I always understood it's a mentality thing, both on the attacking and the defense, or whichever team has it on the 99% for the capture point, because on the people who have the point, they're like, oh, it's 99% game. We've held them off the entire time. We don't have to do anything. Like, this is fine. They're just going to, like, stop really attempting it. We're just going to win the game. But also on the people who are trying to capture the point from the people who have it at 99%, it's their last time to just give it all they want to get, or all they have. They haven't been doing anything all game. Like, now's the time. I'm going to put in that extra oomph to really get the point. And that's why it tends to flip sides a lot at the 99%, it seems. It's all just a mental thing. It's really annoying when that happens, because you're like, man, I had it for the whole time. Now they got the push. Like, I can't believe this happened. We were so close. But yeah, I'm so happy that they made a blue post, because I can't believe that people actually wanted to think that there was something in the game that would help the opposing team push it.
I didn't. So, I mean, and I even put in the show notes, I'm like, this is kind of obvious, but when you read through the comments of that post, you notice very quickly that, oh, wow, there are at least a forum full of people who think that this is. And it's basic psychology, right? When you're holding down the payload, it's, you know, like seconds become minutes. It's like this thing cannot go fast enough.
Yep.
And that's just natural psychology, right? You're trying to protect that. And then on the other side of things, when you're trying to capture that, it's time goes by really fast. You're trying everything you can to get there and it's not happening. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense psychologically why people feel like, I mean, it's almost like, why is no matter what the clock against me in this game? But in the end, that's just, it's just the nature of things. Easy. The other one, this was pretty interesting about plays of the game. So what somebody made another forum post in there saying, who do you think has the most plays of the game? And a lot of people put out their guesses and then Jeff Kaplan replied. So for quick play, the most plays in the game are Bastion, Genji, and Torbjorn. Surprising nobody.
Absolutely no one.
Surprising.
I'm shocked.
It surprised me because I just because I don't play quick play that much. So I was surprised that it's really that kind of drastic on the characters that are picked in quick play. But yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So it was not super surprising for us who play quick play, I guess. In competitive play, Mercy, McCree, and Reaper have the most play of the games. So was this surprising? A little bit more surprising? And the competitive player says.
I'm a little surprised because I'm surprised he just didn't say Mercy, Mercy, and Mercy are the players who have the play of the games. Because even I say it as a Mercy player, I'm like, they need to, I don't want to see my constant, like, this is not fun. I know all of the 11 other people that are in this game right now do not want to see this two-man res that was completely insignificant compared to the Reaper's five-person ult. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, I was very proud of my five-man res on Hollywood that won us a game. So
I was so
happy.
Good.
I was happy that I was playing the game.
Well, yeah.
It still feels like some of this is just because the game doesn't credit players really well. Like I've seen a couple in my competitive placements for season two. I saw a couple where a big Zarya ult would get landed that decided the game. Mm-hmm. And play of the game went to the Genji who happened to walk up at the end and do the last 8% of damage on them all. Like Genji wasn't the playmaker there. Yeah. It's still a calculation that I think heavily favors what appears to be the swing potential in the game, whether that's a big burst of multiple kills or the big res that offsets multiple kills. But the waiting on them still feels a little off because the playmaking abilities don't get anywhere near the credit they deserve. Like, Lucio sound barriers often are super deciding, right? I've seen several really, really good Zenyatta ults that ended up just neutralizing the enemy team trying to pull off a big multiple ult combo. Doesn't get play of the game, doesn't even register as far as I'm concerned.
And on a sleep dart on an ulting McCree that might have gotten everybody, or sleep dart on a Pharah. So that's huge. And that doesn't really feel like it gets calculated at all, which leads into kind of the next point of that. The players of the least play the games are, like Kevin said, Lucio, but also Ana. They came out and said that too. So it's stuff like that that they've said multiple times that they are looking into the system on how to tweak it to give better play of the game, so it's not a Torb turret doing all the work and you're just not really watching any action. So they've said a couple of times that they're working to fix it, so I'm pretty content with how they're gonna do it. I don't have any hesitations toward it.
And this is one of like the ultimate forms of armchair development because the Overwatch team is literally making a computer try to find the most significant parts of the game and then highlight that for you in a way that seems exciting. And I'd say maybe 70% of the time, it does a pretty dang good job at that. So, I mean, in the end, we're just kind of, it's kind of like when people, I don't even want to go there, but it's the ultimate, like sitting in your armchair with a beer and a cozy watching the Denver Broncos going running on third down, who runs on third down? It's the same type of thing here, and I just think it's hilarious.
I think it's good feedback for them to hear, though, right?
Because they got to, yeah.
Yeah, there's stuff about the system that obviously it's tough to program a variable that says was the most important thing that Reinhardt stood in front of the team with a shield at that exact second and countered a Devald. Maybe, but the game has a really hard time determining what the value of that is. Do you give the Reinhardt the value of the damage blocked? Do you give him the value of a life saved? Do you give him the value of the damage that the people who stayed behind the shield did because they couldn't have done it without him? Like, it's not an exact science. This is something that they have to just keep iterating on. And it, like, again, this is so much better. When we started talking about this on the show, being like, I've never seen a play of the game that wasn't a Torbjorn.
Back to work.
In a corner somewhere. And now it's actually pretty good. Most of the time, like John's 50%, I don't think is even high enough. I think it's probably more than that.
I set up to 70.
Okay. I would say it's probably more than that even. Like, I think I saw maybe one in all of my competitive placements where I was like, that, and it was just it was a really weak game. No really incredible plays were made. So the play of the game was like, me on soldier shooting two people. Woo.
Yeah. That sometimes that's exactly what happened, is that nothing spectacular happens during the game. And then by then, at least in ranked play, I've noticed if nothing crazy happens and it was like a storm through the point and it was really easy, and then when they attacked, you defended them and just nothing really happened during the game, I feel like it defaults to mercy play of the game, because that's really the only thing that happened, is that you res two people because you can, even though they're not pushing, because you just have an ult sitting there that you know you're going to be able to get back. And I think before season two, the play of the games were really, really well. They were done really, really well. I think that since they buffed Mercy again, though, in ranked, play of the game is like 75% Mercy. Like, that's a pretty high percentage of Mercy. And I think that other than Mercy being play of the game, like 75% of the time, their system and the mechanics behind it are really well, and they're always tweaking them to get better. So other than that, it's like everybody has said, it's a hard system to manage and tweak and get right and figure out who did what. But I think they're doing pretty good.
I think it's great. I would love to see it expanded to, like, you're right, if you make a big epic push and a lot of people contribute similarly, just show us a cool action cam of the scene. Don't even say a specific player. Or if it was like three players, say the three players that made the push at the end to capture it. Something like
That's a really cool idea, actually. You're welcome. Play of the game was just, if it was a just push. the most important thing that happened. Like, show me the big engagement, but don't credit a single player with it, because it's a team game. Why is a single player getting credit for a team game?
And I mean, I get it. Like, team spirit is not necessarily enough. There are a lot of people out there who play Reaper who just play it to see the stupid thing. Oh. And then, you know, we get it. And because it is such a team-based thing, you don't have a scoreboard. You have play of the game and the medal system, and then just looking at your own stats. Those are the only...
And the cards. The after-game cards.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Those are the only things that you have to really gauge your individual performance. I get it. But especially, like, I mean, algorithmically, right? They're looking at a certain amount of points. Like, everything is chopped down to points, and a lot of time play of the game is spurred by a huge jump in points over a short period in time. If three or four players have a huge jump in points at a similar time, that's a team play. Yeah. They probably couldn't have done it without the other. Imagine a nice, or like a huge stone wall with a minute left on defense or something like that. Like, there's a lot of cool ways I think that you could tweak it and expand it, because it doesn't have to be individual, especially when, Mercy res at one of the most just vague and unimportant scenarios in the game doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Yeah.
I just love overall that they're just sharing these stats, because this is just kind of cool statistics that are fun to talk about. I'd love to see them make like an infographic at the end of the season with a bunch of stats like this, because we know they all have that data. And I know the WoW team does this periodically where they have this giant infographic, and it's just fun to look at and discuss. So hopefully they'll expand on this and share more of this data going forward. I just really like seeing stuff like this, because this is just fun stuff in general to talk about and look and see.
It totally is. We just said in Skype, we're worried about not having things to talk about this week, and here we are 50 minutes in talking about play of the game. So kudos. We know how to riff and jive. Other thing, replays are probably not coming into the game. Jeff Kaplan says probably not in 2016. So I know a lot of people were expecting it, and Jeff posted an incredible post about how things, you know, have shifted and changed and how they go about their development process. You need to check that out, because it is one of the coolest like development type posts that I think I've seen in maybe ever from the Overwatch team. So that was really cool. They talk about, you know, their long-term stuff, their short-term stuff, the filler work that they give people. Like, it's really amazing stuff. But replays will probably not be coming this year. Although we've heard stuff like that from the Overwatch team before, and they've totally changed it. I think, I can't remember what they said specifically, but I know that the higher paying servers were like kind of slated. Yeah, they were kind of slated quite a way back, and they bumped them up pretty significantly because a lot of people felt like it was important. And
they also said it in that forum that they're constantly reevaluating everything. So yeah, maybe right now replays aren't in the top, but if a thread comes at the top of their Overwatch board and on Reddit and people start like protesting for it, it's completely possible that they'll reevaluate and be like, this has higher significance now. So it still could come out at the end of the year, but as of right now, it's probably not going to.
My gut on this one is no, and the only reason I say that is because this is an engine-level development. So if the Overwatch engine didn't ship with a way for them to track replays, because replays are only going to exist in one of two fashions. They're going to be hard-coded video files, which would be enormous, which they won't do, or they would be data files, which would store specific information like player position, health variables, shots fired, stuff like that, because that's just a text file of data basically that they can then read back, and the game would re-render the game showing you what happened using that data information. That's not something the game shipped with, so to build a way to output that information would be a fairly significant change, because right now you have no ability to see that information other than how the game is rendering to you. And it's also kind of tricky because there's some weird things that have to be accounted for with what is being stored in your replay file should match what's being stored in the other player's replay file. So 12 people should end up with the exact same replay and the exact same data, despite the fact that they're all getting slightly different visual indications of what's occurring because of their latency and the correction for that.
Wouldn't so they all just see the server file, the server data on that? So then everyone would look at the one master, what actually happened on the physical game server?
Theoretically, yes. The drawback, or I guess the challenge there, is how that data is stored and transferred is a trick, because that's one of the really easy ways for people to try and create exploits, right? Where you would be able to get information about where another player is on the map, utilizing that data file if it's being rendered in real time. So they've had to get away from that in the StarCraft engine for both StarCraft and Heroes for that reason, because that's how map hacks and stuff were created. It's not an easy problem to solve, is what I'm saying. I know they can do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will, but this is not something they can just move to the top of the checklist and have out in a month's time if they decide to. There's too much that has to be done to make it work.
Really close to that. Do you guys think then that's when also we'll get the resume function for competitive play? because that's
I think
that's
those are
essentially
hand in hand,
like
absolutely.
Yeah, those are basically the same thing. So
the flip side there is that there is maybe the possibility, like I think they need a resume either way, but they may, this may be the only Blizzard game where they have a LAN client for their tournaments where they actually set up a local server rather than having it route through Battle.net. I don't know. I kind of don't think so because they've gone really all in on Battle.net with all of their other esports, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for them to run a local client and a local server for something like the tournament at BlizzCon.
Yeah, totally agree. What else? What else?
Well, there was one little post that came out today. There's some conversation, and Jeff has weighed in. Jeff Kaplan has weighed in about profile statistics. And right now, if you go and you want to look at your statistics on your profile, they have to be segmented by game type and by season in the competitive statistics. So they're looking at trying to create a way where you could flatten those statistics and you would have an overall set of profile statistics showing you global information about your win rates with characters and stuff like that, as opposed to separating it out by each individual game type. You would still probably have those options, but a lot of people are asking for a way to see it all as one set of statistics. And Jeff has said he thinks that's a good idea. So usually in the past, that's been an indication that that's something they're working on.
Yeah. Cool. That's neat.
Hopefully. I mean, it's little stuff like that that when they've gotten that feedback, these are all the types of things that they turned around and fixed for season two and on PTRs. So I think it's a good indication that they're still actively listening and answering people's concerns and questions.
Yeah, for sure.
They definitely have been really consistent with their tone in communicating with the community. They're
very responsive. Yeah.
Yeah. The number of responses that we get, honestly, on average, usually when I go through and try to review all the blue posts outside of patch notes and stuff, there's usually 10 to 12 every week, which means that we get at least three or four pretty significant answers on the forum. Some really short ones, like this, the one Kevin was talking about. Jeff just says, good suggestions. Like, you know, yep, that didn't take a lot of time.
Not a whole lot else they can say, right?
Right. But then it
makes me think of Dustin Browder, how he would respond a lot to hero suggestions on Twitter. He's like, well, we'll look at it. We'll fix. It's like one word answers is just funny.
The old Steve Jobs email.
Yeah.
Wrong, Steve. how it goes. Just to hit on this again. So I want to hit on this one more time. Jeff, it'll be in the show notes. Jeff Kaplan did post a couple of amazing insights into the development process for Overwatch and like their philosophy, and even about how like they don't always put everybody on all the important stuff all day long because there is busy work and like easy stuff that can and has to get done too. And talking about how he cares for his developers on his team. Like it was just a really cool, really cool response. And I just really appreciated that kind of transparency. And he didn't have to do that. There's literally nothing that, you know, says I should tell people about how we run our business. Like that's not very characteristic at all anymore. So that was pretty neat. So check it out in the show notes. It is pretty cool. Anything else? No?
No, I think we got everything.
I think that was everything.
Yeah. Well,
time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We gotta get out of here then. It is about that time. Before we get out of here, though, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B. and Tyler H. You can find out more at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Help us get to our next goal, which is TBD. But if you like the show, you like where it's going, go ahead and check out the video. I think you'll like how it looks. And go ahead and hopefully enjoy the new art stuff. And that's because of our patrons. So thank you so much. I believe next up is we're going to do some re-recording of our intros and outros and some of our sounders, assuming that there is time. Just kidding. I have to do it. It's a patron goal. Kevin made them up, and then I got to do it. So that's about
it's
how
it
works.
My favorite thing.
Oh, it's the worst. We'll have Kevin record it in his in his lady voice that he's done in Well Met a few times. It's pretty amazing.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh dear is correct.
That is the correct
actually,
response. Yeah.
That oh dear was actually Kevin, by the way. That wasn't. Oh, well, this was fun. Let's go ahead. iTunes reviews. Kev, what's going on with iTunes reviews?
Did we get any reviews this week? I don't think we did. No.
We didn't.
So for those of you who are wondering, we bring this up every week. iTunes reviews are sort of the bread and butter of how we promote the show. Our visibility on iTunes, what people learn about the show when they check it out, a lot of that has to do with reviews. You as a listener know what you think of the show, but somebody who's never listened has no idea, and they'll look at those reviews to decide whether or not we're worth their time. So if you are willing to go in and take the time to say what you think of the show, leave us those 5-star reviews. It helps a lot, and it's the best contribution you can make to support the payload outside of our Patreon.
Yes. So absolutely, we do appreciate those so much. Patreon, what do we have going on with Patreon, Jimmy?
We actually hit, $120-something? I mean, we hit quite faster than we thought we would, our $100 goal. So John had already mentioned that, but patreon.com/payload podcast. If you like the show and want to show your support, go to patreon.com.
That had some hair on it, Jimmy. That had some hair on it.
I know. It was rough, man. But yeah, we really appreciate our patrons, and any support you can give us is totally, totally appreciated.
Absolutely. This week, we do want to thank Coral, Jay, and Craig C. Thank you so much. Welcome to the patron family. We really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy your time. And hopefully, you feel like we're doing good work with the show. That is honestly, like, the biggest thing I care about, is that you think that our show is getting better every week. And that's something we strive to do. Kevin and I have been doing this now for a year and a half. And I swear to God, we have not had a single week where we haven't, like, can we get better this week? Can we do something different? So,
And the horror story that is going back and listening to some of the old shows, it was good stuff. I'm sure it was good at the time. But now we work so much harder and we want to do better for you guys that when we go back and listen to what we used to do, we sort of hang our heads in shame.
Yep. But we learned and we grew and we made something. And that's what matters, right? Woo! Okay, well, let's do shout outs then. So shout outs for the week, Rosh, you're up.
My every week shout outs, super thankful to be here. You guys, Fade to Karma, again, you guys should check them out. They are a great gaming organization. I would not be here as much as I am if it was not for them. So they definitely are definitely great. Other than that, I will be streaming a lot this next week and a half. I will actually be streaming for the next 10 days straight. Normally I take off Sundays and Mondays, but I have been so excited about streaming and you guys are so awesome. So yeah, I will be streaming for the next 10 days straight. It will be from anywhere from 5 to 8 hour stream. So you should definitely check it out. It's twitch.tv/okayitsrosh. I will also be doing a short stream after this for about an hour. So you should come over. We'll play some Overwatch. I don't know if I'm going to be doing some games with you guys, maybe. So you should come over, hang out, and maybe we can play some Overwatch games.
Nice. You look all moved into your new apartment now. You look nice and settled, so that's good.
The last 3 days have gotten a lot of furniture.
You can tell it's less echoey. Yeah. So there's obviously, like, furniture in there.
Every week we went from, like, solid wood floors and hard walls to, like, there's a carpet and some boxes to, like, hey, that's an apartment.
Yeah, I finally have somewhere to sit in my living room, so I can actually hang out in the other 80% of my apartment. So it feels good, man.
Nice. Jimmy, you're up.
Just thanks to everyone for supporting the podcast and coming out. And we really appreciate you guys, especially on Twitch, coming out and chatting. We all read your comments and everything. It's awesome. That's it. I don't have anything else for shout outs.
Cool. Kev, what about you, man?
Oh, man. Well, the next couple of weeks are a disaster. I have some very, very, very cool projects that I've been working on for writing stuff that should be launching here in the next couple of weeks. As they come out, you'll be able to find them on my Twitter over at Lack of Realism. And I also want to take this chance to remind everybody, if you're a listener and you're going to be at BlizzCon, we're starting to firm up plans for all of us who are going to be there, talking about where we're going to be, how we're going to spend our time, what the plan is for the whole BlizzCon experience. So if you are attending BlizzCon and you'd like to meet up, hang out, you get, heaven forbid, like John's autograph so you can get a tattoo or something, by all means, hit us up, email us or tweet us and let us know where you're going to be and what you want to do so we can try to hang out with you guys. We'd love to meet our listeners that are going to be at BlizzCon.
Poor John. That's the best I've ever
seen. I'll find you a tattoo artist in Anaheim if you want to do that. Hit me up.
I have a great signature. It's like bottom of the Declaration of Independence good. So
wow.
It is
some
pretty
of those
good.
Were bad, though.
So Kevin, that's what happens when your country declares independence and wins a giant war against a world power. That's what happens. So just if you're wondering what a Declaration of Independence was in Canada.
No idea. The colonies are doing great, but thanks for asking.
Oh, okay. Last thing, so shout outs for me. So Jimmy, you and I are going to be at TwitchCon at the end of the month, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Hey, I'll be there too.
You're going to be at TwitchCon?
I'll be at TwitchCon too.
Will you be there Friday?
I thought I told you guys I will be there Friday.
At 12:30 in the Sandstorm Theater, John and I will be on a panel about podcasting in Twitch. So come join us.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. The Stormcast guys are there, including, I believe, Mick Montgomery. He's like one of he's like one of my podcasting role models. So I'm going to be like, can I sit next to Mick, please?
I'll sit in the audience with my, like, I'll get something to have John sign so we can start the signatures Friday at TwitchCon.
Oh my God. I hate you guys so much. I don't know why I put myself through this every week. I don't get it. So yeah, we're going to be there. Check it out. As for me, I'm trying to do some more streaming. I played a lot of Legion this week. Guess how many? So this is totally against the point for a second, but during Sunday and Monday and part of Tuesday, guess I wore my Apple Watch the whole time. Guess how many calories I burned over those 2.5 days?
None.
85
in the negatives. Oh, geez.
85 total calories over like 3 days. I did not move a lot, but it was fun either way. Really happy to be playing World of Warcraft again. So, just when I thought I didn't need more video games in my life, that happened.
Seriously, I checked right now while you were talking. I'm up to 3 days of in-game played time at max level on Legion already. Wow. I don't want to talk about it.
But you just talked about it.
You brought it up.
Yep. I don't want to talk about that point I just made. All right. You can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzbro.com. A big thank you to Jake Buttono at jakebuttono.ca for our music. And Nathan Horstman, thank you so much. For our graphics, you can find us on Twitter. Yeah, at Twitter at Payload Podcast, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/payload podcast, patreon.com/payload podcast. It's all at Payload Podcast, except for our email. That's at thepayload@blizzbro.com. We would love your emails. We'd love to chat about that. We probably would have some time this week to sit back, relax, talk about what you guys want to talk about. Specific questions, just bring them on into us and we'll do our best to put them into the show. We always thank our iTunes reviewers for leaving us 5 stars. We're happy to read your name on the show when you do so. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts. This has been episode number 39. We'll see you next week. All right. Bye-bye, guys.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.